442.
441.
441.
It was 441.
Thankfully, Paul's here.
Someone was listening.
If you told us, it would have been better.
All right, we're live. It is GlossaCast 441. I have to do my thing where I put the live feed onto the blog, publish. Once that's up, we can go forward.
It's like to tell the truth when they used to do it. With the real. Golf superintendent, please stand up, and we all go like this. Yeah.
All right. So we have Paul Horowitz, second time with us. And you were invited back. It's not often that I go, I want him back, because you had such great commentary. You had such insights to some of the more cultured parts of our community where a dummy like me doesn't really know these things. So we had, as a matter of fact, the people from Cape Ann Museum reached out and they want to do a podcast. So I want you to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So you can bring the IQ of the panel up a few notches.
What was I saying about the rest of us?
He's a school guy. I know you guys are school people, but you are lower level school people. Listen, band teachers
all the head of school does is walk around watching these people work.
Yeah.
They're the school.
So we also joined first time podcast virgin Chris Donato, the superintendent at Bass Rocks Golf Club. Yep.
And thank you for loaning your chair so I feel like I'm appreciating that.
Jimmy Dalpiaz is with us.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And Pat is on the keyboard.
Good morning.
Answering questions.
It's a band. She's on the keyboard.
So, Chris Donato, I got this little caption thing where I can put your information.
It's all where it happens right there. Sweet. Magic fingers.
I love it.
So, Chris, you are the super. How long have you been involved in the golf industry?
I think this is my 30th year.
30 years?
Yeah, actually, 30th year doing maintenance. But as a little kid, I was working in the bag room. So, cleaning clubs and running the parking lot. Yes, Mr. Jones. No, Mr. Jones. I've been doing it a long time.
Did you go to school for this kind of work?
Yeah. So I have an associate's degree at UMass Amherst. I went there after I went to Providence for 4 years. So I have a 4-year undergrad degree from PC.
Wow.
I was halfway through school and I said, geez, I don't really have what I want to do here. It was hard telling my old man that one, but it was the right choice.
Yeah. So the reason you're here is because I follow you on Twitter, and I've become obsessed with his Twitter feed, and he has a blog, and it's basically about your maintaining the golf course, and you interact with a lot of other superintendents around the country and stuff.
Yeah.
And you're basically talking about the challenges and the weather that's coming up and what it presents and how you're going to manage the course to keep it where you want it to be and what your membership expects.
That's it.
And the reason that I really, really was excited because you can tell that you're so into it. Like you really have a passion for it. You can tell that there's a pride and a passion for this kind of work.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Kudos to my parents for drilling into me to be a hard worker. I don't think if you don't have that passion in my business, you don't last very long. I mean, it's really demanding, time demanding. It's time away from your family, especially during up here in the summertime. So you got to have an understanding family. You don't last long in one place. You're not doing a good job all the time. You're only as good as your last round that you put out. So, I love it. I'm fortunate. I've worked for some great guys. I know a lot of people around the country, worked in a bunch of, big tournaments, majors. So I've got to meet a lot of people doing that. And Twitter's been great for us. It's a good way for me to kind of let the members know what's going on over here. Probably not too many members pay attention. We have a relatively older membership. They're probably not Twitter users, but it's a good way for me to kind of let people know what's going on. And I got on it actually just to kind of see what other people are doing. For a long time, it was just kind of this brother slash sisterhood of people doing stuff, but you get so focused on your own place that you don't see what's going on everywhere else. So it's
like trends.
Well, it's trends.
Like, is there products? Is there like a fertilizer type products or machinery type products that can make your job easier or better or stuff like that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean,
I'm sure you probably invented your own little thing, something you found works for you, and there's kind of calling you saying, hey, how'd you do that?
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the great things with texting. I was looking for something, I don't know, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, and I was looking to borrow someone's to try it because I'm interested in finding it. It's just a great way to, I mean, communicate with a guy. I got a DM from a guy in New Zealand.
Wow.
So it's pretty neat. I'm not one to just kind of try all kinds of new fertilizers and products. I like to let other people try stuff. I will try one or two little things, but yeah, it's a great way to just find out about stuff.
What are the biggest challenges that you have as a superintendent, Bass Rocks, this particular area?
So, we're on a giant pile of rocks, and there's not a lot of soil there, so we don't drain well. We don't have a lot of irrigation water, so I can tell you that just in the last week talking to people, and we're in the middle of a drought. We can buy city water, but we haven't bought a gallon this year. A lot of people have used more than twice what we have. I just don't have it. Right. So I'm trying to, you know, really focus on good playing surfaces and giving them good greens, tees, and fairways, and then everything else kind of we'll let it go. But so that, say that, and then this year, COVID obviously has been a nightmare.
Outdoor things that people can do outdoor, there's been like a monstrous boom. Like boat prices have gone through the roof. We had a couple of old kayaks that we listed on Facebook Marketplace. Within 2 minutes, I had 23 inquiries because like people couldn't get kayaks.
Bicycles.
You can't get a bicycle.
Yep.
Like, so golf is one of these things.
20% across the board or across the country.
Lumber
20%
up. Yeah.
It's nuts. I mean, we had to go to tee times just because of COVID and regulations, and you can't get out there. I mean, I've been trying to play golf, and I don't want to go sit around and wait after I've been working all day. I want to wait around. It's just packed all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good for golf.
Right.
We'll probably see that in the next 4 or 5 years, just the uptick. And it's been good for our club, too, so that's cool.
Now you've been in Bass Rocks how long?
This is my 17th year.
17th year.
Yeah.
So would you say this year rates as one of the worst year that you've had, or right in the middle of it, or how would you rate?
It depends on the metrics. I mean, in terms of
we've had some awful storms, and I'm sure you've been nuts on that too.
Yeah, course quality wise, it's definitely drier. We've got some brown spots, but I think it's playing awesome. As a golfer, I mean, this is what you want, firm and fast. So that's good. It's been a challenge. Staff-wise, it's been hard, but, worse in so many ways. I mean, I haven't seen my family this year. All I do is work. So thanks to my wife for putting up with me. and honestly, sometimes your mood gets affected by the weather. 25 days in a row,
yeah.
No rain.
Yeah.
And especially here in Gloucester, you watch it come across the state. I mean, I'm watching, if you follow me on Twitter, it's all about Mother Nature for us. And I watch the rain come across the state and literally dry up as it rains at Good Harbor Beach. I can see it raining from the first hole at Good Harbor Beach, and it's not raining at Bass Rock. So
it was wild. The beginning, like the first 2 or 3 months of the summer, it was like they were predicting thunderstorms like every single weekend night. And we'd be on the boat, and we're like, all right, we got to get going right now because these things are coming.
Yep.
It would get to Cape Ann and literally break apart and go around us, and there was no rain.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. We would sit there and watch it go up Switch Bay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm right at the corner by Wingersheek, there it goes.
But it follows the river. It almost like follows the river.
So exactly what COVID responsibilities do you have?
me per se. It's mostly just my staff.
Right.
So how much staff are you allowed or not allowed? Or
so we just follow the regular COVID rules for indoors. We've been meeting outdoors in the morning. You know, we kind of hand out our tasks outside. You know, we've got the masks situation when you're inside.
Well, how big is your crew?
Right now we have 11. We were at 14 in the summer. Usually I'm at like 20.
Wow.
So you can imagine, you know, trying to take care of stuff. We're jockey stuff around. So that's been a challenge. You're keeping things clean, obviously sanitizing constantly. And then one of the challenges is, like, I can't have staff working together in the same cart. So, you know, I have to have everybody going, doing things separately, separate tools, can't share your tools. You can't, you know, everything has to be wiped down at the end of the day. All the equipment needs to be sanitized. So
I'm sure you got to add that into the plan now.
Oh,
okay, we're going to, this is how much we have to clean and sanitize. This is how much working. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I mean, it really cuts down. And then that cuts down on efficiency because, you know, you've got to have two people driving around. You know, that's twice as much fuel. And things like driving around on the grass, I mean, that's probably the worst thing for it. Other than cutting it is walking on it.
Yeah.
So, COVID's been tough, but I mean, it's been tough for everyone. And we've just kind of looked at it like we're fortunate that we're working. And because I go stir crazy, and we're outside. So we're relatively safe, you know. So
I tell you what, as someone who, you know, I play once a week and I try to get out there. I don't go to Bass Rocks. I'm not a member and all that stuff. Plus the fact, I probably did it too much. You're finding
job security.
You're finding a lot of that. You're finding more people out there, and you're finding more divots. And
honestly, so that's one of the funny things. We have really small tee boxes there with the uptick in play. I mean, it's just the tees aren't designed to handle that kind of play. So something like divots that we would do, you know, 2-3 times a week. Like, I literally have somebody doing it every single day.
Oh, wow.
Because if you don't, I mean, the grass is just going to be dirt. So, and the guys have done great.
I don't play there, but my son is, he loves to play, and he's been kind of teaching me. And one thing they taught me is you have to have the tools, because if you get it on the green and you make the dip, you got to replace it.
Yeah.
Or if you go over there, replace it. And he's big about looking for that little seed that you put in there.
Yeah.
He's very, you got to do this. So
not
everybody does. I tell you, I watch people play.
Brenda Grimes Davis just chimed in. She says, my husband just left to play in a tournament at Bass Rocks.
Yeah.
So we haven't asked the question.
No, we haven't.
Death row sub and death row meal for Chris Donato. And Pat's going to record the, because we keep a tally.
Yeah, no, I'd say my death row sub is, there's between two, but it's definitely Virgilio's.
There you go,
for
me.
And I'm going to go with the chicken St. Joseph.
Ooh, that's different.
So it's either that or it was the Eggplant Supreme, but I got to go with the chicken.
That Eggplant Supreme won, it was in top 10 of Boston Magazine.
Oh, really?
The Eggplant Supreme was one of the top 10 sandwiches in Massachusetts.
I had one yesterday, so I just had one yesterday. I said to my wife, we got to go to Virgilio's. I'm just great. My kids wanted a cannoli. let's go. Something for them. Something
recency
for
bias.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And death row meal?
Probably a ribeye from Avon Louis.
Avon Louis. Can't beat it.
No. Yeah,
it's Grill 23 for me.
Okay.
And you're splitting hairs, but
Grill 23. There's nothing like a good ribeye.
That's my cover
grill.
I just picked up a one. I'm gonna refinish it. I'm gonna fix it up tonight. So there's that. Well, okay. So now we've spoken about the golf course, but I'm doing this is my selfish portion right here. I ripped out a bunch of hedges, big thing of overgrown hedges, and I had like a pile of really not good soil, sandy. And Jimmy helped me out with this, and my wife Kate did a lot of the work, but we needed to plant some seed.
Okay.
So I'm gonna tell you what I did, And then I'm gonna let you critique. And then
I'm gonna let you, sounds good.
And then I'm gonna let you say where I fucked up or where I don't.
No. Sounds good.
Okay. So it was really kind of sandy soil.
Yeah.
And so I went to Wolf Hill, mm-hmm. and I got about 30 bags of Jolly Gardener topsoil.
Okay.
In bags. And the reason I did that was because it was a laziness thing, because when they come and dump the thing, I didn't want to have to shovel it and distribute it. I just figured if I get the bags, I can place them out, right? So we had a pitchfork, and we went and we put holes in the sandy soil.
Yeah.
And then we distributed the topsoil over that.
Okay.
Then I went and I had to – they had this product called Green Up, which is like a fertilizer.
Yeah.
I did that with a spreader and then the seed. And then took one of those like large garden rakes, the one with like the wooden bristles.
Yep.
And just like kind of dragged that over there to kind of distribute the seed into for the contact. And then I went with my feet and did a pitter patter to because I didn't have a heavy roller.
Yep. That works.
And then just watered the shit out of it.
Okay.
Okay.
So some questions.
Yeah.
What kind of grass seed did you use?
It was something Jonathan Green. Sun and shade.
Okay, mix. So you probably had some bluegrass, some ryegrass, some fescue in there.
That's what they said. They said, if you don't know what kind of grass you have, get this, because if you have one completely different kind of grass, you'll see the difference in color.
Yeah, they kind of decide what wants to be in that spot. Sandier spots would probably have more fescue that would take. Mm-hmm. Now, so how much topsoil did you put down?
Not a ton.
Okay, so you're probably going to have a problem.
Okay.
Just to be honest.
All right.
So if you wanted to do it, if you have to do it over at some point, I would say just incorporate the sand with the topsoil to kind of make it lighter. Because with the sand underneath and the topsoil on the top, what's going to happen is you're going to hold moisture in the top.
Yeah.
Your grass is probably going to germinate. But then as soon as you get into any kind of drought, it's going to be really dry below.
Yep.
So when you get rain, it's going to come down and it's just going to disappear. You would want something that would hold some moisture. For you, especially if you've only got a little bit. So, but sand isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, that's what greens are made out of. We make it out of straight sand. So, but as long as you keep it wet, you'll be fine. Did it start to germinate yet, or did you just do it?
No, this is day five, and we figure 10 days before we'll see if the...
Your ryegrass might come up in like 7 days. The rest of it's going to probably take 2-3 weeks.
Oh, really?
To really get going. What you'll see come up first is the ryegrass.
Okay.
So I think you're fine. I mean, are you in full sun? Are you just kind of...
No, it's full sun.
Is it in
full
and out?
Full sun.
So I think you'll be fine, but it's going to be work. You know, picking the right grass seed for the right spot. You got all the roots and everything out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll germinate. It sounds, you did all the right stuff.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more topsoil.
More topsoil. Okay.
We shook up the sand. I mean, there was some big sandy spots, and we were literally raking it and getting rid of some of the extra. But we did mix it up, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, you won't be alone this year. Everybody's going to be working on their lawns. I've already had 1,000 people ask me a million questions. So.
Okay, so another question I had was, what are your top three tips for a home lawn jockey?
Okay. First one would be to make sure anything you buy, read the bag, because I can't tell you how many people tell me they put their weed and feed out and they watered it in and it doesn't work because it's not supposed to be watered in. It's supposed to stick on a wet leaves and kill the weeds. So read the bags. That'd be the first thing. If you can manage the water, it depends on if you have an irrigation system on your home lawn, but managing water is really important. So if you do have an irrigation system or you don't, you might go out and water it. If you want to have a nice lawn, like do it in the morning. And you're better off doing it heavy and then leaving it alone for a couple of days and go back home lawn wise. So, and you'd be surprised how much grass doesn't need a lot of water. It really doesn't need that much.
To germinate it though.
To germinate, yeah. To get it to pop, you need to soak it like repeatedly until it pops. But then once you get it going, healthy stand. You know, I always hear, oh, cut the lawn real long. for so you can keep the weeds out. And I guess that's true. But if you want a nice dense lawn, like you want to cut it shorter.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, 2 inches is good. If you just have a healthy stand, that's your best defense against weeds. So
there you go.
That'd be my tips.
And is there a product? Okay. So now a product for us, what products do you recommend as far as feeding throughout the year?
So, obviously you're going to need some nitrogen. I mean, for a homeowner, I have at my disposal probably way more than anybody could get homeowner wise, but, you know, probably a balanced approach, nitrogen and potassium. So when you buy a fertilizer bag, it's got three numbers on it. That's nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Phosphorus you really don't need unless you're seeding a new lawn. And you're really not supposed to put it down in Massachusetts now, unless you're seeding a lawn. So balanced, the first number in the bag, nitrogen, and the last number, potassium in the bag, that's good for throughout the year. And products-wise, I mean, Scotts has always been tried and true for homeowners. I don't use Scotts products. I don't know any superintendent that do. but, you know, when we're buying in quantity.
Right.
I mean, we're buying very specific. I mean, I like to buy raw stuff. It's cheaper. And I have a lot more control that way. So I don't have the biggest budget in the world, so I try and get the most bang for my buck.
Right, of course. Well, we have Chris McCarthy, who's a member there, and he's been patiently waiting in the
room. We also have a question from a listener.
Go ahead.
Michael Bertolino is asking, what about lime?
So lime, yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. I would say just base it on a soil recommendation. I mean, samples, you can get a sample for probably $25. I wouldn't say, everybody says, oh, should I go lime my lawn? Well, I don't know. I don't know where your lawn is. I don't know if you have oak trees or pine trees. And so it's all based on pH. I mean, so around here, I would say with the salty air, it's probably not going to hurt you to put it down. But I wouldn't just put it down. I don't lime my lawn. I mean, don't look at my lawn as you drive by. it's certainly not going to hurt. Now, lime would be something I would definitely recommend you if you're going to seed. You know, you want to put out a dolomitic lime, which is a white powdered lime. You use it a lot of times for lining fields and whatnot. Definitely helps with seed germination, but I wouldn't just arbitrarily do it.
Okay.
I gotcha. Wow, that's great. Chris McCarthy, are you with us?
Good morning. Good morning, Joey.
We have
done.
Listen, people can hear your audio, which is this is a first for us. So
wow,
no more headsets.
Wow. So I don't know. Have you been watching? Chris D'Amato's with us.
I have. So I have a question for Chris. There's a friend of mine who's trying to grow some marijuana in their backyard. Any suggestions on how to grow a nice plant?
Yeah, I tell you, I don't know. If I did, I wouldn't tell you, but I really don't know. I've actually been asked that question. I've been asked how to grow marijuana and mushrooms. I don't know how to grow either. But I bet the folks up at Happy Valley would be better people to talk to.
Chris, two questions. Chris McCarthy, how would you rate Bass Rocks to some of the other courses, because Chris was the captain of his golf team at Bishop Fenwick and at Bryant College.
Nice.
How would you rate it in comparison to some of the other places that you play?
I'm blushing, Joe. Thank you for that great introduction. Chris, yeah, I'm a member at Bass Rocks. I've played it multiple times, but as Joe mentioned, I've been golfing for many years. And I got to tell you, my hat's off to you and the rest of your staff. The course is in great shape. I've played a lot of golf this year alone and played different courses. And I put Bass Rocks at the very top of how the course looks and how the greens are playing. Just outstanding. So great job.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that.
There you go.
You
still
don't know
your secret how to grow the marijuana.
I don't know. I legit don't know.
I know.
I legit don't know.
Yeah, so we have a question from Julie. It's probably Troy. Who is that?
Hang on. I got some of my college buddies.
All right, hold on one second. We have a question
right now.
We have a question first. Hold on. Julie wants to know, what are the benefits of thatching a lawn and when should you do it?
So thatching your lawn will definitely something you want to do if you've got like a bluegrass lawn. If you have like a ryegrass lawn, it's just unnecessary because ryegrass doesn't make thatch. Fescue, same thing. I generally recommend a ryegrass lawn for a homeowner. It's just a lot less maintenance. Seed is cheaper. But yeah, definitely it'll help you manage moisture. The needs, insects, a lot of insects like to live in the thatch. I would do it in the spring and the fall, but you don't need to do both. If you do one, I would do it now.
What is the thing, you know, when you go to some say public fields or homes and you see like these, they look like they're like the round
aerators.
Aerators,
yeah.
So, and what does the aeration do for your lawn?
So for your home lawn, definitely relieve compaction, help moisture get in and out of the soil, air exchange, really important.
It is important.
It's really important.
Chris McCarthy, you got the floor, Chris. I have to take this call. Chris. Hey, how are you? Go ahead, Jimmy.
Good morning.
Okay, Chris, you got the floor, buddy.
Buttons. Oh, boy, you got the floor.
These are all my friends right here.
Call hey, how are you doing, friends?
We're having
everybody here. This is all part of it.
Awesome.
Chris, you have the floor. Joey had to go out. So if you have any questions.
This is my buddy, Vic. Say hi to Vic. Smitty.
Hello, Gloucester.
This is Gizmeister.
Morning, Gloucester.
Say hello, Giz. This is Dean and Billy. They own the house that I'm staying in. We're down
thanks for putting up with him.
We're celebrating.
Why do you have a nickname Scully? What's up with that?
Actually, I'm sure Chris could probably piece it together. Being in golf business, I was playing golf one day and almost injured somebody by sculling the ball.
One of my teammates
coined me the Skull Master, so I became Scully.
Gotcha.
That,
Chris.
That was when I had hair back in the day.
Long time ago. Well, Chris.
Yeah, 86, 87.
Chris, on a scale from on a 1 out of 10 times when you take a divot, how many do you replace 10 of them or do you replace 5 of them?
None.
Like what are the chances that you're going to actually bend down and replace the
It all depends on my caddy. My caddy should replace my divot.
Oh.
He probably doesn't take one if his name is Scully.
Yeah. Good point, Chris. Great point. No, I do my best to fix my divots, fix my ball markers. Public service announcement for you golfers, wherever you play, fix your ball marks, please. Thank you.
Well, I saw something that you put that someone did a vow. If they take a divot, they're going to fix two.
Yeah, fix a ball mark. I tell you, that's a kind of a – we all laugh about it. It's a superintendent's private joke. How everybody tells us that you're supposed to fix your own and one other one. It's kind of that's the etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that so many times, and I'm just trying to figure out if everybody's doing it, why are there so many there?
Right.
So, a ball mark makes us nuts because if you hit the green, it heals in one day.
Maybe.
It takes 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And it just turns into a round. Well, you can go over. Look at the second green. It's got a thousand of them on there.
Wait, Chris, you told me that I was supposed to pick up one beer can, two beer cans for every one I picked up. That's what you told me on the course. Oh, and tees. Same thing with broken tees, right?
Yeah, broken tees.
Oh, you're freaking me
out. How do you fix the ball mark?
So we have a little tool, but I mean, you can use a broken tee, and you just basically, you take it, you stick it in a 45 degree angle. So if the ball's coming in this direction, you take it from the opposite direction and you push it back.
Yeah.
but that's how you're supposed to do it. As long as you do anything, yeah. I don't really care.
Right.
You know,
just show a little effort.
Just fix it. Well, it's not for me. I mean, I'm going to be there regardless working. Right. So it's more for the other golfers. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing about golf is it's supposed to be, you know, the etiquette there. I started out playing golf, so I'm a golfer before I'm a golf course superintendent. So, you know, my perspective might be a little different than a lot of guys and gals that do what I do. They don't play golf. So, you know, I kind of go at it from the golfer's point of view, too.
Yeah, that's a nice perspective to have.
Yeah.
The other big thing is rake the traps.
Yeah. Rake them this year. No rakes out in the course. So,
no,
you know, we had to take all the rakes in, ball washers. You know, there's nothing out there. I'd be surprised if they ever make it back out on the golf course.
Really?
I mean, honestly, they're in our way. So, I mean, I could care less if they're out there. We have, you know, we have to rake them anyway, you know, and like Chris is saying, most people don't rake them.
Oh, yeah. So that's more of a pain in the ass for you to have to deal with them.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's no sweat off my back if they don't go back. We'll see. We'll see that happen.
I think there's a new rule this year anyhow that allows you to take it out of like a pitch mark or a footprint, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Free relief.
Oh, really? What's this guy? What did that guy just walk by you with?
That's Billy.
What did he have in his hands?
Maybe you can help him. We're cooking on a Blackstone, and the propane isn't coming through.
Oh, well, you know what that is? That's because you opened up the regulator too
get
fast.
The propane to our Blackstone. To we're going to blow up on live TV. Yeah, we're trying to get our Blackstone going so we can eat breakfast.
Not 9 times out of 10, when, for people that, like, if you have a propane tank and you hook it up, if you're supposed to slowly open that valve, because there is a there's a mechanism inside there, the safety mechanism, that if too much goes out at once, it'll shut it down. Yeah. It takes a while to relieve. I think that if you take it off, you can depress that. There's like a little button in the middle.
Yeah, there could be a button right here.
Yep. Like it's like the pin. Yep. And I think you could push that in and they'll reset it. But yeah, whenever you open up your gas, because I always turn off, when I run my little Weber Q, I always turn off the gas after I cook. And when I open it, I make sure I slowly open that nozzle. So there's that. There you go. Chris, I know it's Sunday and you may or may not have a lot of responsibilities at the club. You're welcome to stay for the rest of the podcast. Oh, wait, please give the web address of your blog.
Sure. It's bassrocksturf.blogspot.com.
Okay. People can go check it out there. I suggest you follow it, especially if you're interested. You don't have to be interested in golf because you talk about turf, and it's, to me, it's very interesting. Maybe it's because I have my little project going at the house, and I was just obsessed with reading about, you know, the conditions and stuff like that.
Hey, what I'm loving is we talk back and forth about this and what do you know, and what, because we all have grass. We all try different things, but to hear pretty much from a expert, the superintendent,
yes.
I think it's great. And you filled right in there.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I appreciate you guys having me on. I am in a boogie just because my daughter's waiting for me to pick her up.
You got it.
From the sleepover. But it's a labor of love. It's definitely probably different than what you guys are looking dealing with. I mean, our grass is a tenth of an inch long. It's not, you know, 2-3 inches. So it's pretty crazy. But you know, definitely check out the blog.
Yep.
It's very interesting.
We put a link in the show notes, and we put a link on the Facebook. Because this is live on Facebook, so people can check it out. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
See you later.
Have a good one, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
This was great.
Yeah, that was
great. Jimmy, pull it in.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, it's just what you were hoping for, I think.
That's exactly what we were looking for.
Yeah.
I got to do a little, we do our promotional thing about, we have our stickers. The stickers came in. Congratulations to Charlene McCarthy, who won last week's contest. But these are the stickers. They're die cut, they're multicolored, and they are available.
They're very handsome.
They're available if you send in a self-addressed stamped envelope to 95 East Main Street. Has to be stamped. It has to be self-addressed. And I'll stick a sticker in and send it back to you. So we're doing a new feature every week where Jimmy, I save up the self-addressed envelopes and Jimmy reads who they're going to. Oh, that was it. So there's one right there. I already sent the other one. So
okay, you know, yeah. This is, see folks, this is GMG, 95 East Main Street, Gloucester. And it says, attention Joey on the bottom, like he says all the time. And this is from Murphy. His last name is Murphy in Ramsey, New Jersey.
Ramsey.
So we're opening it up. Okay. And then I'm off camera here. I'm going to be filling it in, take care of it, and putting the mail out today.
So I should also, another bit of administrative news. Okay, what's the first name?
Susan Murphy.
Mrs. Susan Murphy, you'll be getting your sticker this week. Another bit of administrative thing. We have a second gift certificate from Champions Pub.
Oh, awesome.
So we're going to, let me make sure there's two in there. Yep, there's two because So Champions Pub, we have a gift certificate for $25 that they generously donated for us to give
to
Alyssa.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. So if people share it and write shared in the
comments,
we will put you in, and we're gonna pick the winner in about 20 minutes.
Okay.
So share the podcast. We do pick winners.
Yep.
But this is the kind of, I like this segment, so we don't have to wait to find out.
Right. Yes.
People will
yes.
know. So yes. you have to share it to have a chance to win.
Right.
And it's right. it's a very generous gift, and they have the best steak tips on the North Shore, from what a lot of people said.
Yeah, we usually get about 11, 12, 13 shares by the time you're doing it. Let's top that number.
Brenda Davis, she just shared it. My mailman, my awesome mailman, Wayne Moulton, says, just put mine in the in your mailbox.
That's a good one.
We can do that.
But did he say shared?
I know he didn't say shared, so maybe you have to wait for that. Michael Bertolino just shared it, so we have that. Paul Horowitz is with us again, and I invited you back because you had such great things to add last week. And so as the principal head of school at Montessori, Harbor Light Montessori, and we wanted you to briefly just touch on give us an update on how reopening the schools has been for you.
Well, what's the old curse? May you live in interesting times.
Yeah,
this is certainly interesting times.
Yeah.
As I was telling you earlier, I have a Thursday morning phone call, a Zoom call with about 35 other independent school heads around the state. And it's just been fascinating listening to what we're all having to do, you know, to open. And, you know, this is totally unchartered territory, you know. And I think there's an old saying that I think applies, that we may not all be in the same boat, but we're in the same storm. And so we're all navigating this together. We were able to, and my school goes from infants through grade 8. So we're regulated by the EEC, which is the early child care
in
Massachusetts, mm-hmm. plus the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. And for most of the summer, they weren't aligned. Well, because different populations.
Yeah, right,
and, you know,
right.
I get
different
it.
Different concerns, right.
But we were able to open the end of June with a summer program, and I'm so glad we did. It took a ton of work. I mean, we did rethink sizes of classes, how to keep each classroom separate from every other classroom. What do you do with the band teacher? All of that stuff. But we were able to do it on a smaller scale over the summer, which I think was, A, we learned.
Right.
And I think it reassured parents and teachers. Even if they weren't there, they knew.
Probably didn't expect that bonus.
But they saw it. They saw, you know, and so people became more comfortable with, you can do this. The problem now, of course, is when you're open for the school year and we're all there. We're all in school. We're not doing a combination. And, you know, I really feel for some of my colleagues who have older facilities. You know, the typical school has, okay, here, this is the size of the room and you got 25 kids in it. And
yeah.
That's what it was designed for. And when when you have to cut that number in half, you know, where do you go? And that's why people are doing hybrids or platooning or, you know, all of that. We were blessed to have small classes to begin with and space, and we're using outdoors. I mean, I don't know, you know, first snowstorm we're going to be. But
you were saying the morale is really, really, you're really pleased about that.
Yeah, and so we do, you know, I mean, our basic three that I'm hammering away every week are wash your hands, wear your mask, keep your distance. I mean, it's real basic. We do health screening every morning at the front door. So if you're dropping your kid at school, you do a health form before you leave the house. And we look at it. We ask you, wow, you and your kid, some questions. And it's interesting. Sometimes you ask the parent the question. It's, oh, everything's fine. And the kid said, well, actually, I threw up last night. But our school nurse, then follows up every day on the phone with any kid who's out. We track families and grandparents. And we actually... we've built a database so we can tell you who's been tested, who's been quarantined, who's been whatever, who's been out for whatever reason. And actually, the end of this month, next week, I'm going to publish a summary of that for our whole school community so that people can see. Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm doing that is, A, I want them to know what we're doing.
We want transparency,
this is the time when people are deciding, well, it's working. Okay, maybe I don't need to be as diligent. And the reality is that you're only as good as what you do tomorrow in this battle. So we're just going to keep at it. The state had allowed us to schools to go back to their normal ratios, and we decided to keep our student-teacher ratios small. Uh-huh. Real challenge. We had to open a couple of different new classrooms at one level. This is working for many parents. For some other parents, they're not as comfortable, and we expect that.
You know, you mentioned earlier, and I got thrown out there because of the music, that they have to be, you said when they were playing crew, they have to stay, be apart how many feet?
So, yeah, our band teacher, Jay Daly, who's an amazing musician, he's a pit musician down at North Shore Music, but he, among other things, but Jay has these kids 25 feet apart out in the field.
Wow.
Particularly the horns.
Yeah.
Trumpets, the worst.
Yeah,
is the worst. Yeah. You know, we're doing things like the vocal music teacher. We can't do that. So she's actually teaching kids again, spaced out. We bought a bunch of ukuleles.
Yeah.
And the kids are learning how to play the ukulele because you can't have a group of kids together singing.
Kids probably love that though. I would much rather play the ukulele than you know, kind of like a rock star compared to like singing.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But the thing that's been really interesting, and I had mentioned this earlier about morale, is that I think that, you know, there's a lot of pressure on faculty. I mean, I joked earlier that my job as head of school is to walk around watching the teachers work, but it is the teachers who make it happen. It's just been really remarkable to watch how they've come together. It's sort of like, okay, we have this challenge, we have this hill we have to climb together, and they're doing it, and they're supporting each other, and that is just, that really feels
good. And we have a comment from Nicole that the school is very lucky to have your leadership, so that's nice.
Thanks, Nicole.
That's nice.
Job security for Nicole.
You know, I'll hire Muffy to clean your office this week.
Muffy's dying to come down.
Yeah, she's dying.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd like to do a shout out to a new listener who's joined us, my brother, Chris.
Oh,
so
wow.
Hi, Chris. I hope Lori's with you. Yeah. Nice to see you.
Very nice. Very nice.
I think the biggest thing that has worked for us and any of my colleagues that I talk with is communication.
Mm.
You know, right from March 13th last year when we left school, I started writing every week, minimum of every week, to the whole school community. This is what we're doing. This is what we're dealing
People
with.
People do appreciate that.
And just keeping it up. And you know, we, whether it's town hall meetings with levels of, you know, level groups of parents, or, you know, that stuff, you can't do enough of it.
Yeah. No. Right. The transparency and the communication is key.
The communications, I'm overwhelmed with communications, like between club soccer, town soccer, and school. I'm like, I'm completely overwhelmed.
Well, so is your daughter. She was telling us about the changes that they have to do for the soccer and this event. And then she tells us that they travel to other states. they don't follow it as much.
Right.
So at the other stage,
differently.
Right. So exactly the rule that they were doing, yeah. was what I meant to say, is that they do it differently. So mm-hmm. now they have to prepare different to play, and it's yeah. it's
well, and this is whole business that I can't tell my families how to live their lives. I can control what we do in the school, but I can't control what you do on the weekends with your family. But we can require, and we do require, okay, if you're going to wherever, we need to know that you've had a test yeah. or that you're quarantining. And
I think that's a fantastic system, though. Like, I mean, talk about a relief that, you know, you're sending your child to school and they yeah. have this paper and mm-hmm. follow-ups and everything else. I mean, I don't know how much more you could possibly do, and just for a sense of peace of mind, must be, that's really tremendous. Is that something you guys developed on your own, or did you follow that model from another?
Well,
one of your colleagues?
No. So actually, it's interesting. There are apps that you can do it on your phone.
Yeah.
We opted for the paper model because it actually you got to physically hand something and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And we've. Keep reviewing that. We're going to stick to that. Mm. It's just another checkpoint, you know, in the morning. And we actually, the teachers do a midday health check, and that goes on the form as well with the kids. You know, it's the remote learning. I think everybody, these heads, my head colleagues that we have coffee with every week, we're all, you know, keeping our fingers crossed, you know, how long yeah. does this work? But none of us want to go remote again. You know, we were in school on Friday, March 13th, and the following Tuesday we were online. And we were sort of building the airplane as we were flying it.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, yeah, you know, who knew?
Everybody
and particularly with early childhood or you know, preschool, this is so counterintuitive. I mean, it's all about hands-on and connection and all that mm-hmm. stuff. So we learned a lot. And if we have to go online again, we'll do it and we'll do it well. But It's
not preferred.
No, absolutely not. And right. I feel for, I mean, some of my staff. I mean, Nicole, I mean, her son is at home, mm-hmm. you know, online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tough. Well, thanks for that update.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. I'm going to follow up on, you know.
Yeah, we're going
to. Just keep up with this. And, you know, yeah. It's interesting to hear from your perspective, you know, ground, feet on the ground perspective.
Well, I can tell you that this is a perfect day, that as of today, Sunday, I have no one absent today.
pretty good.
Love it.
100% attendance.
A couple of things. Kenny McCarthy wrote a very interesting real estate article on KPAN, home buyer or seller's market, ? And he goes through a whole thing of a story.
I saw that headline. I haven't read it yet.
You gotta check that out. My friend Brandon Pratt is my guy for my mortgage. I refinanced with him twice now because it's just money in my pocket, and I like money in my pocket. And so there's a link to contact him if you have a home mortgage and you haven't refinanced within 3 years. I'm going to say there's 99.9% chance that you're going to actually save substantial amount of money in your pocket.
And he's really easy to talk to.
He's easy to talk to, but not only that, like all you have to do is hand him a few documents, and all of a sudden, like there's hundreds of dollars in your bank account that weren't there on a monthly basis. So you're crazy if you don't do that. You guys went to Antique Table.
We went last week, and I wanted to do a shout out because it was excellent. Mm-hmm. We had been there last in January, obviously prior to the pandemic, and going back was really felt very much like, you know, our last experience was pre-pandemic, and the second experience was post-pandemic. The food was outstanding. The menu choices were great. I would highly recommend it. The staff was very friendly and efficient and felt nice and safe in there. I always prefer to eat inside. Mm-hmm. So I'm always judging, you know, how the restaurants are doing, and it felt very safe in there. And the meal was just excellent. We were well treated, and we'll be going back. So it's well worth the drive up there.
There was news this week that the Governor Baker is allowing tables of 10.
Mm-hmm.
And bar seating.
Yeah.
So that's a step in the right direction.
That's a step in the right direction, but I think it doesn't change the numbers that are allowed in the restaurant.
Ah.
I think the percent capacity doesn't change.
Oh, interesting.
right? So I mean,
but there's something, but that's nice though, because I know that there, I know of a couple of families that have seven in their family, and
right?
They could, can't do the
right,
can't
right. No, it's nice that things are starting to loosen up a bit, and they can be a little more flexible.
And you have to be like very selective with your friends.
Yeah,
because you only have six, and you're like, okay, it's gonna be three.
I'm sorry, you're the seventh.
Who's got a bubble of six? I mean, that's kind of not a very big number.
It's tricky.
Yeah,
it's very tricky. So there's that. Back over here. Get up here. Oh, okay. Quick thing. The baby fox. Did you see the baby fox on the roof at Madfish Wharf? It was on the blog yesterday.
Oh, okay. So, oh yes,
the baby fox. Yeah. So Mick LaFada, our friend Mick LaFada, took a video on Rocky Neck. Wayne, did he just ask that question? The baby fox was on Rocky Neck on the roof of Madfish Wharf in the studios. Mm-hmm. But Mick LaFada, who lives on Rocky Neck as well, took a picture of a video of a baby fox next to his excavator. And I'm wondering if it's the same baby fox or if it's a den of foxes.
Yeah. Oh boy, I tell you what, if that's the case, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I hope not that they're going to be all over.
But what did I tell you last week that I saw? It was probably about a month ago now. But I saw two foxes on Rocky Neck at two different times of the day. But these are adult foxes, so they're proliferating.
Yeah.
Whereas I hadn't 3 years ago, I hadn't seen a fox since I was a kid. Now I'm seeing fox, on a every other week.
You know, and Mick said that his picture, it was his dogs are sitting there and they're doing like the stare down. The dogs are staring at the fox, and the fox is like yawning, looking at him like, you can't touch me. Yeah. But that was the point.
Yeah, we've had them around Amazon.
Have you had them continuously, or have they just appeared in the last couple of years?
Last couple of years, there's more in the last couple of years. There was a fox den right in some rocks right above one of the beaches, and walked down one day and there were three kids playing on the lawn, and the mother fox is sitting there watching.
We've seen them over on Muscle Point too.
Yeah.
Usually when we go on a walk or something. Yeah. But
Lane's.
So yesterday we went to Laneside Brewery, which is the new portion, I guess, of Cape Ann Lanes.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
Gloucester Ave. For a lunch. Yeah. Yes, on Gloucester Ave, thank you. Mm-hmm. And we enjoyed I haven't had a beer in a long time. And as Jim pointed out when we were sitting there, I haven't had a beer that wasn't a Guinness in a very long time. but I had one of their brews there. It was mm-hmm. called Trophy. And I liked it very much. Mm-hmm. And we had a light meal.
Yeah. So I guess we can show that.
Yeah.
So help me out there, Pat, how I'm doing on it.
This is
what they have.
They got
house beer, they got some draft beers, some wine, and your basic beverages too, right over there. And then they have
it's a light menu. Mm-hmm. They feature tots for their snack, instead of French fries, which we had. I think it's a perfect kind of menu if you're going to be bowling or hanging out with friends or whatever. We were quite delighted.
There was a nice little dining area there.
Yeah.
And that was the inside.
Yep.
And then the outside, it's a very nice area that you can sit outside. Mm-hmm. And it's undercover. Mm-hmm. So it's...
Is it a tent or is it a roof?
It's a roof. It's kind of a roof they made off of the roof.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can see going out there and just having a good time with people hanging out. And
there were a few people bowling when we were there. Not too many. I'm not a big bowler, so we did not...
You had the tots.
I didn't.
How were the tots?
Potatoes are not.
I thought the tots, they were crispy. Mm-hmm. And I got the loaded tots. So,
of course.
It came with, like it said, a pound of tots loaded with bacon, cheddar, Monterey Jack cheese, sour Woo-hoo! Cream, chives.
Oh my God.
And you can add, protein.
We took a few of them home. Yeah.
So, one of my son, who's a boat builder up in Maine, works at a place called Rockport Marine. They build wooden boats, and they last year on some slow Friday, decided to have the first annual Tater Tot Festival.
Oh,
and everybody brought in a recipe of, you know, that something that cooked with tater tots.
That's a diversion for sure.
I like tater tots. Always did, but to hear that now it's out there in the menu, I said I had to do it. I love going to places like that, trying something just to say I did it so we can talk about it. So, I'm wishing them all the best. I think they're going to do fine.
Shout out to Sophia, who was jack of all trades yesterday. Yeah.
She was helping the family with their bowling shoes. Everything. They ran back and gave what we needed. So,
Great. Are we ready to do?
I think we're ready.
Let's do one more thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm gonna reiterate our because sharing. right after we do our product review, we'll pick our share. How many people do we have so far?
We got seven right now.
Seven people have shared it so far. So right now, if no one else shares it, you're one of seven to win a $25 gift certificate to Champions Pub in Peabody, which has the best steak tips on the North Shore, according to a lot of people. So if you're watching this right now, is hit the share button on Facebook and type in shared in the comment section. Yeah. And we're gonna pick it in right after we do this review. So get on your keyboards right now, share it, and for a chance to win. So we are gonna do now. We are going to do. I'm going to move this right out of the way, and I'm going to move the mic. And
another first.
This is going to be a product review. We've never done this.
We like to be helpful to our listeners.
All right, here we go. So product review time right here. Right there, get this out of the way. So this is it's called the Negg, NEGG egg peeler. And I saw a video on this because I've been eating a lot of boiled eggs. I try to eat two boiled when I'm not eating like an asshole, because you know my diet.
Right.
I don't eat like an asshole diet. Instead of eating a breakfast sandwich like I did this morning, I'll have two boiled eggs, like a half of an avocado with a little salt on it, and that's that'll carry me through to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But peeling a boiled eggs has been the bane of my existence. It just takes forever.
A lot of people would agree with you on that.
So I'm not so good at it. So Pat and Jimmy, look at this little cradle of eggs. So you boiled these eggs this morning.
I did. It might not be an optimal condition because typically what I would do peeling an egg after I boiled it was to have it in cold water, but we couldn't really do that
and get them here safely. Presumably these are not soft boiled eggs. These are
They should not be soft-boiled.
They better be.
They should not be soft-boiled. All right.
So according to the instructions, we're going to take it out of the box.
Yeah.
Very simple. Very simple right here. Take it out. Okay. So it just clips on. All right. Very simple packaging. Not really a whole lot.
Do you remember how much it was?
I think it was. I'll put a link into
okay.
it. You got to do it over here so people can see, Pat.
Right,
so the instructions say to fill this cap that much water, and then you just pour it into the bottom, or you could have just poured it directly in the bottom.
I guess so, yeah.
Then you place the egg in. Mm-hmm. These haven't been peeled yet.
Are they still warm?
They are still warm.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, then you put the cap on. And they said about between 4 and 12 shakes.
Right.
So I'm going to give it.
Oh, I can hear. Oh, I can hear.
Okay.
Something.
So now we're going to see if this works because I like boiled eggs. And a lot of people for the holidays make deviled eggs. So we're going to see. Oh, I think it's going to work. All right. Let me just move this out.
It's all cracked up. I can see that.
It's definitely all cracked
up. And some of the shell is gone in the bottom of them.
Oh, this is it. This is all done.
Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
Huh. A couple more shakes would have done it, maybe.
A couple more shakes. Well, I mean, I would have been struggling.
Well, and I think if it had been in the ice water, too.
That's too
Which usually does help.
Look at that. Done.
Awesome.
Look at that.
Awesome.
That's a winner.
Not bad.
That's a winner. Let's do another one.
Yeah.
Technology.
That's about as simple as you can get right there. Look at that perfect egg. All right.
Do you want more water? Or?
No, I think we I think we got the right amount of water in there.
Let's compare it. Let's you do one in here.
Oh, that's a great idea, Pat.
And then I'm going to do one the way I would normally
all
do
right,
it.
Well, we got to get on the camera, though. I want to just make sure we're in the same in the frame.
Okay.
So, all right, you go on that side, Pat.
Here we go.
We're going to we'll time it, basically. Okay, you are in the, you're in the same.
Okay.
You're in the
frame.
Very
that's
good. Perfect. All right, hold on.
It's not a timing contest. It's just sort of a comparison.
Well, it kind
of
is, though, because a lot of it has to do with I want to put a little bit more water.
Behind you.
Here's
the water.
Let's see. Said to have it right up to that line. All right, now we're up to the
line. And again, this is not optimal. This isn't the way I would normally do it, but.
All right, hold on.
Flawless egg here. All right,
so we're going to do this. Ready? One, two, three, go. Peel the egg.
Oh, I've already made a mess.
You see? You lost some of the egg.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
All right. Let's see here.
There we go.
Take it off.
Whoa!
Your egg is in pieces. And my egg, let's see here.
Yeah, it's still stuck on there. Again, like I said.
Look at this.
Look at that.
Look at this.
Done. Mine's
Put it up to the camera. Yep, right there.
30 seconds.
There you go.
30 seconds.
And it's a mess.
Yeah, don't even get that inferior egg there.
Oh, okay, all right.
Near my beautiful eggs.
Fair enough.
This is my breakfast right there. Nice job, Pat. Good job.
Oh.
That is awesome. All right, so there it is. I'll put a link in the. I'll put a link on where to buy it.
I have.
Link and
that is amazing.
Cover
there's the link to, there's the link to purchase it right there. There you go. That was pretty good. But this jar does have these little nubs on the inside, which that's
probably what I think against the
I
yeah,
think that's
yeah.
the key. And the water I think probably gets underneath the shell.
Once it breaks, then it
Honestly, I think it's the ice water that makes a huge difference. And doing it quickly after you're not waiting too long. Those have been boiled over an hour.
At the house, I've tried a bunch of different methods. I have not had any success like the I did with that mechanism right there.
Well, you clearly have better mindset.
$14.95 on Amazon it costs. All right, let's see. My mother shared it, so I think that's it. We have 8 shares right now.
I have 7, and what am I missing? I'm missing one.
Did you have my mom?
No, I got your mom.
Well, you said you had 7 before.
Yeah. And
did she do it twice or something?
I don't think so. Maybe, unless I'm going by comments.
Okay.
Wayne,
you have Wayne Moulton.
I have Wayne.
You have
Brenda,
Ed Collard.
I have Brenda.
You have Heather Marisola.
Yes.
Let's see. Carol Mandela does not write... Shared.
Correct. Brenda Davis Grimes. Brenda Grimes Davis, which we have posted.
Yeah.
Michael Berlino. And Brenda Mike Smith.
Okay. All right.
Who am I missing?
Heather Marisola. Did you say her?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. We're going to pick. So let me just.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I got 2 new comments. Hang on. Oh, yes. By mistake, your mother said.
Oh, so she did it twice. That's why I was confused. Okay, so I got to get my handy dandy
Wheel of Fortune.
The Wheel of Fortune. Randomizer.
And a camera.
Pretty random. All right, so minimum is going to be 1. And maximum, what did you say? 7?
7.
All right, here it comes. And Pat, you have the.
I have everybody number
you have
here.
You have the numbers.
The official list is right here.
The official list. All right, ready? And. Here we go. Oh, it did this to me last time. I gotta just redo it.
Luckily, I can do it.
Keep coming.
7. Okay. And ready. 6.
Number Number six, Brenda Mike Smith.
Brenda Mike Smith, not Brenda Mitch. Ryan Davis.
Right, Mitch.
Brenda Ryan. Mitch Smith. She is the winner.
Congratulations, Brenda, number six.
Okay.
And you win.
No, that's Joey's breakfast.
Oh. Man.
He should get up the other one.
Yeah. that's what everybody else gets. They
divide yeah, because there's all those pieces.
There. Yeah.
You can divide them up.
There you go. I was going to say, tell Brenda, you can pick up your gift certificate at 95 East Main Street.
It's still here. We're still here.
We're still
here.
Hey,
good
morning,
Mike.
We're still here.
It's still here.
Oh, sorry. Nice. Thanks, guys. Well, thanks, guys.
Now we're here.
Yeah, we got that going for us.
It was the best part.
Yeah. Pat, you had a hummingbird update.
I know our listeners are very interested. Mm-hmm. I know you could care less, but
that's not true. Why do you say I don't care?
Because I don't think you like hearing me talk about how the hummingbirds come right to my window with their little beaks and touch my window, even as recently as last Thursday. Still have hummingbirds around, which surprised me. But I have read that you're supposed to keep your feed out for 2 weeks after you see your last hummingbird.
Keep your feed out?
Feed. The hummingbird.
Oh, your feed. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
The hummingbird feeder.
And put your feed out. Okay.
You're nibbling at your toes.
So my most recent sighting was last Thursday, which it seems late to me, but I don't know. But she comes right up to the window, and she puts her beak right up against the window say good morning. Well,
the same coloring?
Yeah, I think it appears to be a female, so I'm thinking it might be the same one.
Ooh.
But I don't know. So 2 more weeks, it's almost Columbus Day before I'm going to take the feeder down, which... Hummingbird feeder down. So
the feeder.
I don't know. It feels like it's late. But
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I know our listeners are interested.
It's a whole Paul Ryan O'Brien. Chris McCarthy is down at the Cape or something like that. Scotty Mack had a good sleep. Congratulations on that, Scotty Mack.
Good for you, Scotty.
There you go.
There you go. 10:07. We're right at an hour. This is right where we wanted to be.
Yep.
You guys are professionals. We've got this down to a science.
This is awesome.
We just get better and better at this all the time. Paul Horvitz, thank you for being part of the crew.
Well, thank you.
You're part of the regular crew. You know you're dialed in here. Your family has lost you on the weekend, Sunday mornings.
Okay.
You're expected to be here. And we're wondering if you could be involved in a podcast at Cape Ann Museum at the Green. They asked us to come.
Sure, when?
We got to figure it out. Okay, I don't have much time off, so it's going to be like Pat and you and Jimmy.
Yeah, let me know. I'd love to.
So, and although eggs were harmed today.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy, get up close. This is your This is your thing. Hold on. I like it when you're really close to this.
Okay.
All right, right there.
Good?
Yep.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, today absolutely no piping plovers were hurt in the making of today's podcast. Thank you very much.